You're listening to the Crosscheck NHL Show, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark.
Hello, and welcome to the Crosscheck NHL Show. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. My name is Mary Clark, staff writer for The Win, and you can follow me on Twitter at Mary C. Clark. I'm here with Andrew Berkshire, NHL analyst for the Montreal Gazette. You can follow on Twitter at Andrew Berkshire. On this Tuesday edition of the Crosscheck, Zdeno Chara is back on Long Island after signing a one-year deal with the Islanders, and honestly, I think it makes me feel kind of old. Plus, we'll continue our off-season Locked On NHL crossovers with interviews with Josh Hyman of Locked On Blues and Hernan Salas of Locked On Oilers. So Andrew, before we start off today's show, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just trying to manage the beginning of the season, essentially. Get my schedule worked up, figure out how much I'm going to be working, figure out who I'm working for, because that's still up in the air, because I've got a bunch of things in the air. But overall, not too bad. How about yourself, Mary?
Good. I'm excited to hear about your plans, because we've talked, you know, about what I'm doing and what I'm up to. So I'm really excited to hear what you are going to be doing for the season, because it is that time of year. We were talking about it off pod that, like, it is so close to the start of the season. Like, it is alarmingly close to the fact that I'm like, oh God, are we going to get all this preview content done in time? But we've really been blitzing through these interviews with the rest of the, Locked On NHL hosts. And it's been a lot of fun. And we have, you know, more for you. But we're nearing the end, which is wild to think about. I thought at the very beginning this was a pretty daunting task. But I think, you know, you've spearheaded a lot of it. So thank you. But I think we've done a really good job. And I'm really excited for the start of the season, because there is so much. And there's so many changes, as we've, you know, talked about with the hosts. And it's just, you know, it's exciting times. It's finally, the weather's starting to finally cool down a little bit here. I went to the beach one last time because, you know, fall is about to start. So I'm doing good, I think. It is, you know, it's one of my favorite times of the year. Like, once we get into October, it is like, oh, I love this time of the year. And hockey coming back, it's just, it's great. I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great time of year. Hockey's exciting again. It's not the middle season doldrums. Although this year, the middle of the season doldrums are going to be broken up by the Winter Olympics, which is fantastic. I love those Olympic years. But yeah, everything's exciting. This is the fourth to last episode of the Crosscheck Summer Crossover, where we're interviewing the Locked On NHL hosts. So yeah, it's been a lot of scheduling, a lot of work to get all these people together to record all these segments. Also, shout out to Sean Woodley, who is the guy who essentially runs the NHL side of the Locked On Network. He's been a lot of help wrangling people to get them set down for times to record. We've got, yeah, I think eight more interviews, including today's, before we wrap it up. And we're excited to get through that and then get into the, you know, bold predictions for the season, getting into things that are actually happening around the league. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, and there's still a lot left on the table. We talked about this before, that, like, what's up with Jack Eichel? We still don't know. I mean, like, we're still kind of, like, hanging there. I mean, you've got Kaprizov still. I mean, we've mentioned this before, but, like, we're really getting down to it, and it is, and it's exciting stuff. I mean, to be fair, things might not happen the way we predict them to, but that's kind of the fun. But I'm not sure, I don't know about you, Andrew, I'm not sure if I could have predicted this one here. So earlier, or was it late last week, I believe, Zdeno Chara signed a one-year contract with the Islanders. I don't believe there were any contract terms given, or at least none that I could find. I guess that makes sense. Lou Lamoriello is a, you know, he likes to keep things close to the chest, so if it's out there, I did not see it. But yeah, he signed a one-year contract with the Islanders, and he returned to the team that originally drafted him in 1996. And that was wild to me, because Zdeno Chara has been in the league nearly as long as I've been alive, which is, you know, wild to me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at that
what's
number.
What's crazier maybe is that he was still effective last year.
Yeah, but I looked at that number and I was like, oh no, there's no way this is true. And then I looked up and was like, oh no, this is true. Oh man, what a career for him. Right back where he started from, though, with the team that drafted him. He played for the Islanders for, what, a handful of years, and then moved around a little bit, and then obviously went to Boston, and that's kind of where he really, or at least for me anyway, I don't know about you, Andrew, because you've been alive a little bit longer than I have, but for me, I've really known him more as a Bruin than anything else. So when seeing this, I was like, wait, I forgot he played on the Islanders. That was not to say before my time, but I was like, I was super young then. So is this kind of a surprise to you, Andrew? Or were you kind of expecting it? It just feels like he's jumping around the Metropolitan now, it seems.
Yeah, a bit of a surprise. I guess Washington didn't do what he wanted last year. Like, he wants another chance at a cup. I mean, I'm still surprised that he's not a Bruin. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that the Bruins were trying to get younger and they're trying to, like, salvage what's left of that core. But at the same time, Zdeno Chara is the quintessential Boston Bruin to me. You know, like, he's not necessarily the most mean-spirited Bruin, but if you mess with him, he's just going to murder you on the ice, and then his team will somehow get a power play and score because the Bruins get away with everything. But anyway, I digress. Yes, he is a Bruin to me. I remember him as a Senator more than as an Islander. Like, even for me, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, like, I lived out west, so I didn't watch much Eastern Conference hockey. I think we're very spoiled now with how much access we actually have to watch the game. Like, I wonder now, looking back, how I actually grew up as a fan of the league when I could watch, like, one game a week, maybe two, if my parents let me stay up late on Saturday night. Like, broadcasting was just not as complete back then. And you got to see who you got to see. It's not like you could choose what team you were watching, you know? Like, I watched a lot of Oilers because I grew up north of Edmonton and in Saskatchewan as well. So I didn't even see my own team very much until the playoffs. You know, like, it's kind of off on a tangent here. But, yeah, I don't remember much of Zdeno Chara on the Islanders. I remember people talking about him as, like, kind of like a deer in headlights. You know, in his early career, he was so big and gangly, he couldn't put things together. And the Islanders just kind of gave up on him and sent him to Ottawa, which is the infamous Mike Milbury, who traded Chara. I believe he was traded alongside someone else as well. I think it might have been the pick that became Jason Spezza.
Oh, well, we need Steve Dangle on this trade tree out here.
Yes, we do. But, like, he was one of those really awful trades that Mike Milbury essentially destroyed the Islanders with. Yes, okay. So, Zdeno Chara and a first-round pick, number two overall, which turned into Jason Spezza, and Bill McCault were all traded to the Ottawa Senators for Alexei Yashin, who the Islanders then, I believe, promptly signed to a gigantic extension worth like $10 million a year, which he never lived up to because Yashin was a very interesting character, but, you know, talent up the wazoo, but not necessarily the most drive in the world. Yeah, Zdeno Chara's career spans so much time now. Like, I mean, he was traded for players that I think a lot of people watching the league today like don't even know who Alexei Yashin was.
Nope.
You know, like, like, that, the controversy around Alexei Yashin, like, that era of the Senators between, like, is it going to be Yashin or Daigle, or Dag, I guess is how you're supposed to pronounce it, who becomes, like, the number one center for the Senators, and it ended up being neither of them. Yeah, I mean, the funniest thing about all that is that the Senators are kind of still in that position where they can't hold on to guys, you know? Their big up-and-coming players end up being great elsewhere. Hopefully for them, that doesn't happen with Brady Tkachuk, who's unsigned. But yeah, Zdeno Chara, I hope he remains effective this year with the Islanders. I'm not entirely clear what the Islanders are doing. They seem to be going extremely veteran heavy this year, loading up for a cup run. I don't know if that's going to work. You know, like, they also signed Parise, who's still decent, but also pretty old. Like, I don't know. They're one of those teams where every time I look at their lineup, I'm like, what?
Yeah, but they always seem to get the most out of their players.
Yeah, they do.
Which
they
is
absolutely do.
Wild to me. And I mean, I've been listening to podcasts and, like, looking just around the league in general. People have already started to predict them number one in the Metro this year. And I mean, why wouldn't you? They've, you know what, made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, what was it, in back-to-back years, I believe? Or, like,
yeah,
something pretty close
you
to it.
You can't bet against them.
Yeah, they've been really close to, you know, the Stanley Cup for some time now. And I really am excited to see Chara on this team. I don't know, like, how effective he's going to be, like you said, but he definitely adds, like, a presence to that team that just fits so well in, like, in Long Island on Lou Lamoriello's team, because he does love his you know, grizzled veterans. But that's kind of what makes them at least so lovable to Islanders fans. but and probably annoying for everyone else, you know, everyone else to play against. But I think it, I don't know how much it's going to add to the team, but it definitely adds a lot of character, at least more character to an already, you know, very, like, we know what this Islanders team is. Like, you look at them and you know what they are. So I think he'll fit right in. I'll be interested to see if this is his last year. I mean, you're surprised that he didn't go back to the Bruins. He's, what, 44 now? And he turns 45 in March, so in the middle of the season. So,
you know what's kind of wild, though, Mary, is, like, it's been 25 years since Zdeno Chara was drafted, but there's only two players on the Islanders that are under 25 years old. Like, this is a vet-heavy team. Like, it's only, I mean, you can count, I guess, Oliver Wahlstrom and make it three, but I don't know if he's, like, a for sure to make the lineup or not. But it's really just Matt Barzal and Anthony Beauvillier, who are 24, and there's no one else who's, like, guaranteed to make the roster who's under 25.
It's such an interesting team.
Noah Dobson as well, okay. So I missed one.
But still, it's a very interesting team. And
it is.
They've had success. You can't say that it's not working. I mean, obviously, they haven't, you know, broken through to that next step and made it to the Stanley Cup final, but they're knocking on the door, and they have been for a while now. Like, I know that they had, like, a bit of slides and stretches where they weren't as good last year, but I really think that they can keep pace with the rest of the league and maybe be the top of the Metro. I mean, I still have to, you know, figure out where I'm gonna, you know, predict things, but I think that's a pretty safe pick for picking them at the top of the Metro, because, you know, I mean, you've got, like, teams like the Capitals who are regular season darlings, but, you know, they've lost a couple of steps. And, I mean, we don't know which Pittsburgh team will show up. We have no idea what the Flyers will do. There's, you know, New Jersey's taking steps forward, but I don't think they're, you know, going to make the leap to the top of the division. There's a lot of, you know, room here for the Islanders to, you know, take control of the Metro. And I think that this maybe puts them in a good spot to do so. But if he's bad, then it's just going to kind of be a sad story and kind of be a sad and possible end to his career. I mean, like, there's all this talk about, you know, Tom Brady playing until he's 50, but, like, and Zdeno Chara is basically, like, just a couple of years away from that. It's wild. I don't, like, who knows how many years he has left in him. This is, if I had to guess, probably his last year. So, and I hope he goes out on a good note, because, you know, it would suck because he's been a giant literally for so long in this league, and, you know, it would be nice to see him, you know, get some sort of success, which, you know, now that he's on the Islanders, I think he's really well positioned to do so.
Right. I mean, the only really comparable for him now is Chris Chelios, right, who I guess would have been at the end of his career around when you started to become a fan, and he was still relatively decent up until age 45. Now, he was playing a third pairing role, and then He ended up playing until 2009-10, which is crazy. He was 47 years old.
Okay, so there's still room.
Yeah, but he only played 7 games that year, right? Like, eventually, no matter how good a shape you are, your body starts to break down. And I think Chara has some level of advantage in that category because he's so large that he's not going to get challenged as often, right? Like, not very many people are brave enough to go in heavy on the forecheck and try to take out Zdeno Chara, right? Some guys are, and they're going to get hurt for it, but I would assume that the wear and tear on his body is slightly less because of that. Although, because of the weight and torque that he puts on his limbs, maybe there's, like, more wear and tear on his, like, tendons and all that. So I think what's miraculous about Chara is how well he's evaded injury, and the fact that he is smart enough to play within himself and make his career last. And you got to respect the guy. He played, I think, almost all but one game last season for the Capitals. Played every game for the Bruins the year before. He might have sat out, missed the stretch in 2018-19. But, like, for the most part, he's playing, like, 75 to 82 games for most of his career.
Yeah.
And that's... that's incredible.
Yeah, it's, you know, a real testament.
1,608 games he's played.
It's a real testament to, you know, the conditioning and stuff like that, and just, you know, taking care of your body. And but it's just really neat. I'm hopeful that he finds success in, you know, the Islanders, because it would be cool to get, you know, one last ride as Zdeno Chara, because I don't know. He's been signing 1-year deals. He'll be done when he's done. But, you know, it's hard to look towards the future and say either way. It feels like, to me, there's more of a chance that he retires than more of a chance that he comes back. But you never know. But
If he comes back for another year, I want him to sign on like the youngest team in the league.
Ooh, who?
Whoever the youngest team in the league is, I want Zdeno Chara to sign.
I wonder who that is. I don't know if he could look that up really quickly. I'm trying to think.
I know, like, General Fanager, back when that was the cap site, used to have the ability to sort teams by average age. I don't think Cap Friendly does, although they do have age broken down on the actual team sites for forwards, defense, and goaltenders. Like, it's separated. So they don't actually have average age for the whole team, and unfortunately.
General Fanager, that's a throwback and a half.
I know. It's been some time. Tom from General Fanager works for the Golden Knights. Did you know that?
Yeah, yeah. It is a wild time. It, just remembering, you know, the stuff from back in the day, you know.
Like Extra Skater was the big site for a while.
Yep.
I forget his name. I think it was Dominic. He works for the Maple Leafs now. Like, these cap sites, like, Cap Friendly, the guys that... Oh, no, Dominic is Cap Friendly, I think. The people that put in the work for these websites that give us all this information are, like, the best people honestly.
Thank you.
Like, they're the best.
All right, absolute shout-outs to them, because they do incredible work at Cap Friendly, and I don't think we would... You know, the hockey world would be lesser if we didn't have them. I believe. Absolutely. So, all right. But I think that's all we have to say on Chara, though. Looking forward to the upcoming year from him. Hopefully he stays healthy. Sad that he's still in the Metro. That means I'm going to see him a lot in the Flyers, and just makes the Islanders even tougher to play against. But you know what? It is what it is. You got to beat the best to be the best. But coming up next, we've got interviews with Josh Hyman of Locked On Blues and Hernan Salas of Locked On Oilers coming up for you right after this. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family business, serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Rate Locked On in there How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and have you got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff? Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
Welcome back to the Crosscheck NHL Show. I am Andrew Berkshire, and I'm here with Josh Hyman from Locked On Blues, and we're going to preview in our continuing Crosscheck summer crossover the St. Louis Blues heading into the 2021-2022 season. How's it going, Josh?
It's going all right. How about yourself?
Really well. It's election day up here in Canada, so I've got to go and vote. This is the first time I haven't voted ahead of time in a long time, but just got busy. But other than that, all good over here. Shall we dive right into it and talk some
Let's
Blues?
Let's do it. Let's
All
do
right.
it.
So based on last year compared to this year, who's in and who's out for the St. Louis Blues?
Yeah. Obviously, expansion draft is a tough time for any team. And we were unfortunate enough to lose kind of two players to the Kraken. We lost Vince Dunn and Jaden Schwartz. Vince Dunn being one of the best young pieces of the defensive core, the youngest defenseman that they really had in their top six. So a tough loss there. And then Jaden Schwartz, who has been described as sort of the little engine that could in terms of powering the Blues offense and just creating an identity. So two really big losses there for sure. As well as Mike Hoffman, a guy that scored a lot of goals for the Blues as well. But Jaden Schwartz, one of the most important players for the Blues over the last, you know, decade almost. In the cup run, he had multiple hat tricks that propelled the Blues to the cup final. And then Vince Dunn, like I said, polarizing player in the fan base for sure. But at the end of the day, I think pretty much every fan had the same desire that he would continue to grow and progress as a member of the St. Louis Blues and sort of solidify that defensive core. Unfortunately, that was not the case. However, we did bring in a few names that I'm really excited about. I know a lot of people are excited about, with the big one being Pavel Buchnevich. Offense definitely felt a little dry from a goal scoring perspective last year, and no better guy to come in and drive the offense and create scoring chances than Buchnevich. And a guy of a similar vein is Brandon Saad, another new name that the Blues brought in that'll do just that. So definitely a new look offense next year, as well as the defense as well, without Vince Dunn, but I'm excited.
Yeah, and you could say really Buchnevich is coming off his second straight breakout season, mm-hmm. right? He really piled on the assists in 2019-20. And then last year, 20 goals in just 54 games, 48 yep. points, incredible numbers with the New York Rangers.
Yeah, I believe he would have been second on the Blues in scoring if he put up those numbers last year. So
yeah, so you've got to think that the Blues are kind of leaning on Buchnevich and maybe big seasons from guys like Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas, who's yet mm-hmm. to be signed, mm-hmm. to carry them through the loss right. of Jaden Schwartz and Mike Hoffman as well.
And obviously the big elephant in the room is Vladimir Tarasenko. I think right. when the trade request got announced, however long ago that was, I think a lot of fans, myself included, were under the belief that, oh yeah, in a few days he'll be traded and we'll have a new look at this roster. We'll know who we're getting in. And obviously that's not what happened. It's very much looking like Vladimir Tarasenko will start the season with the St. Louis Blues. Whether that's a good thing or not, we've talked about that on the Locked On Blues podcast. It's sort of up in the air. You know, obviously, if chemistry can work out and he can bounce back, it'll be great. But my prediction is that he will still be traded around the trade deadline. So there is one big, big elephant in the room and big way that this roster still has a potential to change with that trade impending. But we will see.
And I guess it makes sense because Tarasenko has missed a lot of time with injuries over the last few years. And I think that most GMs, if they knew for a fact that Tarasenko was who Tarasenko is expected to be, he would like the market for him would be astonishing. You know, right. like the Blues would be getting something right away at the trade deadline. If he shows that he's around back to what we expect of him with, you know, on his aging curve, I would expect that the Blues could get a pretty good King's ransom
yeah.
for him
yeah, I think
at a
right.
relatively reasonable salary number for just this year and next year. So it should be if he's up to par, a relatively easy guy to move. But, you know, with Tarasenko, Schwartz, and Vince Dunn moving on as well, it's not a huge ton of players changing. But you look at since the Blues won a cup, you know, they've also lost Pietrangelo. There's been a bit of a change of face for this Blues core.
Absolutely.
Do you expect that they're going to play a different style going forward than what we're used to from the Blues? Or is it just molding these guys into their identity?
See, it's interesting because that was a big topic we talked about on the podcast this year was the Blues identity. And at the beginning of the year, we're like, oh yeah, they're kind of a hybrid team. They're a little bit of skill and speed, a little bit of physicality. I think the painful truth of that is they weren't a hybrid team. They kind of just didn't know what they were. They had a good group of guys that could go out there and be physical and take the puck from you. And then they had another group of guys that could go out there and speed down the ice, dangle past you and create a scoring chance. And as much as that could have helped and created a really dynamic offense, I think it caused the offense to struggle and they would play one way and go out and all of a sudden Jordan Kyrou's line would pop out and he wasn't ready to be physical. He wasn't ready to get into the corners. So I think the Blues really struggled to find an identity last season, but I think bringing in Buchnevich and Brandon Saad as well will help this team sort of shift a little bit more towards that skill and speed based offense that pretty much every other team in the NHL is adapting at this point. Obviously, you know, the Ryan O'Reilly and David Perrons of the world are still going to be a nightmare in the defensive zone. But I think the Blues clearly focused on bringing in some big physical guys that can drive the play offensively. And I think we're going to be seeing a lot more offensive heavy team than we had in years past this year.
Which is always fun to watch. Not that the physicality stuff is not fun to watch, but a team that can run and gun with the best of them is always, you know, something to change your TV channel to watch, right?
Absolutely.
And I think if the Blues can do that, that brings some spice to the Western Conference.
Absolutely.
So obviously with all these changes, I don't think anybody expects the Blues to be a bad team, but they're not necessarily considered the cup contenders that they once were a couple of years ago. Although I guess that at the beginning of that season, maybe they weren't either. They surprised everyone after bottoming out in the first part of the year there. But what are the expectations from your perspective, from a fan perspective and from a management perspective for this Blues team?
Yeah, I think playoffs are kind of bare minimum as they have been. You know, fortunately enough, this is a St. Louis Blues team that has had very, very, very little lack of success when it comes to missing the playoffs. I think I've been a fan for almost 10 years and they missed the playoffs like once throughout that period. So we're a little bit spoiled in that sense. But I do think that the roster is absolutely good enough to make the playoffs. I think it's improved from last season, and last season we made the playoffs. Granted, the showing wasn't something to be too proud of against Colorado, but still, I think a lot of it really comes down to chemistry and how well this team can mesh and gel. Cause like you said, it's a very similar roster to last year. But I think that last year they didn't really, like I said, generate that chemistry. And I think with the COVID restrictions lifted, you know, being able to show up at the rink earlier, being able to go out to dinner with the guys afterwards, I just think that camaraderie is going to do a really good job, because that's what this team fed off of in the cup run, was playing for each other, playing like a five-man unit rather than five individual guys. All the cliches, you can throw them out there, but I think they're so important. And I don't think the Blues had that last year. I think there was a bit of tension, frustration for sure. But I think that this team can definitely make the playoffs, and who knows, do they have the potential to go on another run like they did a few years back? I think that they absolutely do. It depends on Colton Parayko establishing himself as a number one defenseman, coming back from that back injury. It relies on Jordan Binnington establishing himself as that number one goaltender. Again, he faltered a little bit last year, but the pieces are there. The coaching staff is there. Going to need a few guys to step up. Absolutely. But this team can make some noise in the playoffs for sure.
All right. Sounds good. Before I let you go, Josh, can you plug some stuff for us? Tell us what you got going on in the next couple
absolutely.
Weeks here for Locked
absolutely.
On Blues.
So very exciting. Locked On Blues is mere days away from launching our YouTube channel. We have the first episode recorded on video. We're just getting the channel set up. So subscribe to us on YouTube at Locked On Blues. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Locked On Blues. You can follow my social on Twitter at Josh Hyman NHL. And my co-host isn't here, but he works his butt off on socials. He's always tweeting out great memes, great hot takes. So that's Tommy T Welsher 15. Give him a follow if you're trying to stay up to date. But yeah, that's all our socials. So make sure you check us out. Like I said, YouTube coming soon.
Thanks so much, Josh. And I'm looking forward to checking you out on YouTube as well.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll try to get you back during the season here, especially if the Blues do something exciting and surprise us all.
I'm sure they will. I can't wait.
Thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
BetOnline is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With the new, updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. From football to basketball and boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code Locked On. Welcome back to the Crosscheck NHL show. My name is Mary Clark, and I'm here with Hernan Salas. How you doing? Locked On Oilers. So how you doing today?
I'm doing good. We're only a few days out. So yeah, excited to get hockey rolling again.
Yeah, I know. It feels weird. I mean, we had a very short off season because hockey went into the summer,
which I
kind of liked. It was kind of like last year during the pandemic, playoffs when we had, hockey and, in the middle of the day in August.
Yeah,
that was quite
great.
Fun. Yeah. Sitting out on my deck, just watching TV was great. But hockey season is almost back and the Oilers are. Oh boy, there's been a lot happening with them. So we kind of know some faces already. But who is in and who is out so far this offseason for the Oilers?
Well, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, they brought in Zach Hyman on a hefty contract. They brought in Warren Fogle in the trade for Ethan Bear, which is still here, kind of mixed reaction because Ethan Bear was pretty popular here and he was a young defenseman. Derek Ryan to shore up the bottom six, they also brought in, and then defensively, I think the one that caused the most controversy was Duncan Keith in a trade that saw Caleb Jones go the other way. No salary retention, which is the big talking point here in Edmonton. Cody Ceci as well was brought in on what I think is just an overpayment, overterm. We'll see how he does. Evan Bouchard expected to be a regular, a guy that a lot of fans here want to see. So it's interesting. And you got guys like, I know they brought in Colton Seaver last week on a PTO. They got Brendan Perlini on a one-year deal, a guy that might surprise. So Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts here in Edmonton. It was deemed the summer of Holland. Depending on who you ask here, they'll tell you whether they loved it or they didn't. There's a lot of mixed reaction on this team heading into the season. So, yeah, it's going to be fun here in Edmonton, like it always is.
Yeah, and I always enjoy watching the games because of two players, McDavid and Draisaitl. We'll get to them. Yeah. We'll get to them a little bit later because I want to talk more about the additions on this team, specifically sure. Duncan Keith. I mean, he's 38 years old, still will be under contract until the 2023-24 season at $5.5 million. Can you talk a little bit about what he'll bring to the Oilers defense? Obviously, you said it was quite controversial, but have things, you know, mellowed out a little bit with the fan base, or are we still kind of in wait and see mode with what's going to happen this year for this team?
Well, I think because the boys have been skating here and you've seen Duncan Keith, who's this like Chicago legend, right? Like he was one of the best at times in the league and he's in Oiler color. So I think for fans, it's kind of cool seeing that number two, Duncan Keith, but then reality kind of sits in and you brought it up. He's 38 years old. I mean, on the positive side, he doesn't have the same role he would have in Chicago. He's not going to play that many minutes. Will he have to kill penalties? Maybe, because I know Tippett likes to run at least five, six, almost all his defensemen to kill penalties. He won't get power play time. That's Tyson Barry, Evan Bouchard, Darnell Nurse. So he's going to take on a lesser role. I think he's going to be right there behind Darnell Nurse on the left side. Who his partner is going to be, we don't know. It could be Cody Ceci. It could be Evan Bouchard. Ceci and Keith kind of scare me as a pairing, but Bouchard is still a fairly young guy. So I think people, you know what, I think people are more open to it now. They're kind of like, let's just wait and see what he can bring. We'll get to see him in the preseason and all that as well. But he's a guy that in his presser here in Edmonton said that we'll see who's a step behind come training camp. So from all accounts, he's in enormous shape despite his age. And I think he can help. He's going to be a good guy in the room, a good guy to calm down the Edmonton Oilers, like when they're giving up leads like they did in game three in the playoffs. I think he's going to help in that aspect, but I don't know what to expect from Duncan Keith at 38 years old. So it's one of the biggest questions here. I mean, defensively, we talked about it today on the show here at 1260, like defensively, who's the one player most people are going to be watching. And it's either Keith or Evan Bouchard and mm-hmm. the two guys at the opposite ends of their career. So it's kind of crazy. So I think Keith can do some good things. It depends who his partner is. I think that's the biggest part here. And he's not going to play the minutes he was in Chicago. He doesn't have a lot of young guys to deal with either. So I think from that sense, it's positive. But I know there's fans here that are still saying, hey, and you know what's tough, though? It's because you want him to play well, right? But then there's people like, well, if he doesn't play well, then he might retire and that money comes off the books next year. But I'm like, well, if you want the Oilers to do well, Duncan Keith has to play well. So it kind of sucks. You don't want to bet against your own players, right? So I think that's why the fans here just want him to do well because they want this team to do well.
Yeah, and it is funny you mentioned that I feel like there's a portion of that type of fan base in every single fan base. Yeah. A portion of them that wants, you know, a player to do badly or the team to do badly because they want to be right, basically. Yeah. I've seen it a lot. I've seen it a lot in, you know, Flyers Twitter because I'm a local Philly person. Yeah. I grew up rooting for the Flyers. So I've seen it a lot that like some people would rather just be right than, you know, have their team do well, which to me doesn't make sense. But I think that's just kind of how the way online is. But that makes sense, though, with Duncan Keith. He's obviously not in his prime anymore. He's 38. No. He's obviously going to be a different type of player, but he's still still Duncan Keith. So there is still a possibility that there will be some that he will have some sort of baseline of, you know, success type of deal.
He comes with pedigree, right? Like he's won it all. So it's like, we can't forget that either. Now he's not the same player. We all know that. But he does come with a little bit of I don't even know what you could call it, but I mean, it's Duncan Keith.
I think pedigree is the good word. The
pedigree,
because like, I mean, no matter how people talk about it, there really is something in hockey to, you know, having a veteran presence in the locker room. You know, some people will decry that and be like, oh, the intangibles, haha. But there really is something to it. There's nothing really to explain it. I don't know how to explain it other than just, it's hockey. So that definitely adds something to the Oilers locker room for sure. And definitely one of the big things I'm going to be looking forward to watching because, I mean, it's Duncan Keith. You're right. Like he's a legend. absolute Hall of Famer. I was going to mention a little bit about Cody Ceci because he did have, like, I think a little bit of an uptick with Pittsburgh last year, which I thought funny. So I think you guys would better hope that he continues to, you know, at least maintain that bit of success. But that is, if that happens, that is an interesting pairing. But moving on to your back end, though, I think that's where one of the real questions for me lies. Is Mike Smith, the Oilers re-signed him, and he is 39 years old, somehow older than Duncan Keith. And you've got him for two more years. Can you explain that contract? Are you a fan? I don't think many people are, but I'm willing to hear out an argument if there is one.
First of all, I'll say this. I like Mike Smith. I love the way he is on and off the ice. I love how he holds his teammates accountable, holds himself accountable. He was outstanding last season. He was. But in saying that, when I saw this deal come down and you could have moved Koskinen, for me, I find it risky, very risky to bring back these two guys. I mean, if Mike Smith is even close to what he was last year, even if he falls off a bit, I think they'll be fine. But if he doesn't, and you got to rely more on Mikko Koskinen, that's an enormous problem. I think the two-year deal, I think the second year is more slated so he can be the backup, because eventually they have to bring in a younger number one goaltender. So I'm not too worried about it. It's not a big cap hit. But yeah, I think it's a big risk. I think Kenny Holland is gambling on this one. He's hoping for the best. Now, the last 2 years, this duo has gotten to the playoffs. They haven't gone far in the playoffs. Now, I wouldn't put it all on the goaltending. The team hasn't been very good in the playoffs. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you got Alex Stalock as well, who's on a one-year deal. By all accounts, he's looking really sharp as well. He's going to push. And then you got two young guys in Stuart Skinner and Ilya Konovalov, who we will see in the rookie game. He's 23 years old, played time in the KHL. All accounts, he's a good goaltender, but I don't know if realistically those two guys could push this year. So I think it's going to be Mike Smith regardless, and I think most people here want to see Stalock push Koskinen. So we'll wait and see, but I agree with you. I get why it's a two-year deal, and like I said, I think that second-year deal is more so he could be a backup. And the bizarre thing is Kenny Holland came out and said when he signed that he doesn't want him playing more than 40 games, but I mean, well, who's getting the other 40? Koskinen, that's pretty risky too. So I sit here and I listen, the outside media, I think I'm with them. I think this is an enormous risk. And knock on wood, hopefully it works out for the Oilers, third time's a charm. I don't know, but if things go sour, I don't know what they're going to do, because it's not like they have a ton of money to bring someone, and they might have to look for a trade and give up something pretty special in order to get a goaltender. So here everybody's just hoping it works out, but it's risky. I agree with you.
Yeah, and risky is the best way to put it, in my opinion, because you're staring down, if it's not Mike Smith, you're staring down two other goalies that you mentioned are also on the wrong side of 30. So like
Stalock hasn't played in a year, and Koskinen is Koskinen. I mean, here last year he was letting in that first shot like on a regular basis, and it's just a guy that got a ridiculous contract back when Shirelli was here, which it's one of the worst contracts. Not his fault. He signed it. He got offered it. I mean, we would all do the same. But, yeah, it's. I think out of all the parts of the Edmonton Oilers, goaltending is the one I'm most curious and a little worried about.
Yeah, and goaltenders can absolutely make or break a team regardless of what happens. But moving from risky to reliable, like I mentioned earlier, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Last year, McDavid broke the 100-point threshold in 56 games, which was incredible to watch. I think I was working that night. I was like, I was like, oh, there's no way he's going to break it tonight. Then he had a multi-goal game or something like that. I'm like, well, what do you do? It's Connor McDavid. And then, of course, you know, Leon Draisaitl, you know, former Hart Trophy winner. These two are going to be the beating heart of this team. I mean, they have been for some time, but this team will ride or die on what McDavid and Draisaitl do this year. Is that true? Is it all on those shoulders again? Do they have any help for them, or is it just them once again against the world?
Oh yeah. I think this is the first year where outside of the 2017 playoff year where these two, this is the best forward group they've had. I mean, you brought in Zach Hyman, a guy that was loved in Toronto. Everybody you talk to about Zach Hyman loves the player. Now, at 29 years old, I mean, he got overpaid, he got overturned, but it's free agency. You had to. I think he complements the top six really well. I think it's a big upgrade on Cahoon or Tyler Ennis, whoever they had. And, yeah, it's I think the bottom six is better, which were the Oilers outside when Draisaitl or McDavid weren't on the ice, you weren't getting anything. So I think they upgraded there too. So I'm very happy with the forward group, regardless of the money or the term. I think, like I said, since 2017, this is the best forward group that they've given McDavid and Draisaitl. So we'll wait and see what happens. I love the addition of Warren Fogle as well. I think he can moonlight in your top six. So yeah, but I mean, this team's only going to go as far as those two guys take them. We've seen them tear it up for many years and not make the playoffs, but this year they're going to have more help. Hopefully the D and the goaltending can hold. So this team can go on a bit of a run. But I mean, when you talk about Connor McDavid, and especially Connor McDavid, like, sky's the limit. This guy's only 24 years old still. He's only getting better and faster. And I think every time he touches the ice, he amazes you some way or another. And Draisaitl, man, what a player he's turned into. We knew he was going to be good. At least I'll speak for, I didn't think he'd be this good. But he's been outstanding, and looks like they might start on separate lines this year because of the depth they did bring in, but they're always going to play together on the power play. And when Dave Tippett needs a goal or they're down or he needs a spark, they always go back together and they create magic. So it's a good off season in terms of forward and help for those two big guys. So we'll see what happens. And in an 82 game season, I think both can hit 100 once again.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to, like you said, they have more depth behind them, because it always really felt like, you know, the Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl show, and it was just them pushing everybody towards the playoffs. So I'm really hoping that these additions work for them, because the NHL is better when the Oilers are, you know, good and, you know, making the playoffs and making runs, because Connor McDavid is the best player and the most exciting player in the league. Yeah. And we absolutely need to see more of him. And I really hope that the Oilers stick around in the playoffs for longer, because it's just a treat to watch. I mean, I know you're going to say that as a fan and somebody covering the team, but like as a hockey person, I'm like, please, we need more Connor McDavid. But before I let you go, one last question for you. We're moving back into the regular divisions this year after, you know, the pandemic and the, you know, the all Canadian division. So we're moving back. The Oilers moving back to the Pacific, where you've got Anaheim, Calgary, Los Angeles, San Jose, Seattle is the new one, Vancouver, and Vegas. No more Arizona in the Pacific. What are the expectations this year for the Oilers? Because you're going back to those regular divisions. You've got the new guys in the Seattle Kraken there. You're no longer going to see the Coyotes. A lot of people are probably going to put Vegas up at the top of the Pacific, but it seems like it could be anybody's game in the Pacific because the California teams aren't going to be very good this year. So where do you guys expect the Oilers to be this year?
I think they have to be challenging Vegas for first place. I think you have to. Like, the additions they made, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, we got to stop wasting their years. This team's got to take that next step. Now, in fairness, this team's been a really good regular season team the last two seasons. So for us, it's like we're not even worried about a good regular season. Now the next step is making a run in the playoffs. So those are our expectations. We're growing here in Edmonton after the decade of darkness and many years out of the playoffs with no matter how many first rounders. This team has to be a playoff team no matter what. And then the playoffs, they got to get out of the first round. They have to. So expectations are growing here in Edmonton as the years pass here with not a lot of success in terms of playoffs. So I expect the Oilers to push the Vegas Golden Knights. I truly do. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but I, like you said, it's not a very strong division, but there's going to be one team that will surprise. So I think the Oilers at worst should be second in that division.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very good way to put it. And I'm really looking forward to watching everybody back in their divisions, especially because Seattle's there. Seattle's there with you guys now. So I think that's, you know, they're the biggest wild card. I mean, I don't think they're going to turn into Vegas like when in their first year, but I think they might surprise people with their defensive depth. I really think it might actually be very difficult to score on them, but I mean, I think if anybody could score on them, it might be the Oilers. So.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait and see. Like, and no offense to the divisions last year. I loved the Canadian division at first, but then after I was like, I need to see some other teams, man. Like, it was driving me crazy. It almost felt like they were in a league of their own. Like, every other division was just a different league, right?
Yeah. It made it very difficult to care about other teams, because if you were only watching, you know, if you're a fan of one team, you're only watching the other seven teams in your division or whatever. So I get it completely, but that's all we've got for you today. So plug your stuff, please, before you go. What's up with the podcast, personal Twitters, please plug away.
Yeah, I'm on the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm the host. We're going to pick it up now probably every day now that the regular season is on. Monday to Friday, I'll always have cool guests here from the local media, maybe a player or two, and then have some fun like we did last season. Hit me up on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers, and download and subscribe wherever you get your download apps, whatever it is.
All right. Well, perfect. Thank you for coming on today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, and a new and improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors well, you're missing out, as you've got coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. I actually just got the box from Built Bar for working at Locked On. I got cookies and cream, and it was really good, I must say. So definitely check out Cookies and Cream at Built Bar. And there's something for everyone with Built Bar. So if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get two of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Built Bar is great for any health-conscious person, as you can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. All the Built Bar flavors have 17 to 18 grams protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams net carbs. All amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie, or whatever you'd like. All bars are covered in 100% chocolate and are soft and easy to chew. So go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. So, Andrew, I don't know what you did over the weekend in terms of pop culture, because it seems like you were busy. But
yeah, we had our in-laws here. My wife's parents were here for Dylan's birthday, and we had Dylan's birthday party on Saturday, which was a lot more successful than I thought it was going to be, because last year was like really hectic. But I guess 4 is the age where they start to like play and you're not worried that they're going to kill themselves. So it was pretty relaxing. We got to like have some chats with other parents. It was a good day.
Yeah, that's great. And happy birthday, or I guess belated birthday. I feel like I said that on the last show.
You did.
But still, it was a weekend for me. I mean, like I said, sports being back has made my weekends even more busy and more stressful, because Penn State football absolutely stressed the heck out of me this weekend. And then the Eagles were just bad. So it was a mixed box of a weekend for me. But this week we also have the Fusion. Actually, tonight, the Philadelphia Fusion, my Overwatch League team, will be playing in the playoffs. I want them to win at least one game. I don't think they're going to win the whole thing, but I would like them to at least win one game so they don't bow out in double elimination. So that's tonight, and I'm super excited, but also super nervous for it. And then over the weekend, I also started and finished Deltarune Chapter 2, the video game I talked about last week, which, oh boy, there is a lot to talk about, but I won't because spoilers, but it was a very fun game, great music, great atmosphere, incredible pixel art as always from Toby Fox, just all around a fantastic game, which has made me super excited for the next installments. And the game was free too, which is wild because the first part was also free. And I would have bet anything that, you know, would have been paid this time around. But he said that everybody's been going through a lot over the past year and a half or so. So we made this part free, but the next couple installments will be paid. And I'm like, that's perfectly fine. I really think that I would have paid any amount for these games to begin with. So I would love to, you know, pay it forward, basically, for everything, like all the content we've gotten for free. But that was still a nice surprise to get it for free, because, like, you know, video game development is tough. And even though it was a small team, I'd still like to, you know, give them their due and whatnot. But I also have to say, Andrew, I did start a show that you had been wanting me to start for some time.
Oh.
Can you guess what it is?
Is it Ted Lasso?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
I had to stop for the weekend because I was busy, and then a video game came out and I wanted to dedicate my time to that. But I'm still in season 1, and I hate to say it, but it's really good.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I won't go too long on it because we've already talked about a lot, but I've really enjoyed it so far. I know that the Emmys were the other night, so it was really cool seeing, I didn't watch it because I was watching sports, but my Twitter timeline was all a buzz when, you know, any Ted Lasso character won. But I've really enjoyed it so far. The characters are absolutely the best thing about the show. And I mean, Ted Lasso is a great character, but it's the characters around him, I think, that make the show absolutely shine.
Yes.
Rebecca he and Kaylee specifically.
Is there to like bring people up.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes. But Rebecca, that's her name, the man, the owner, yes. And was it Kaylee? Is that her name?
Now I'm like blanking for whatever reason. I'm just too tired.
I believe that's her name. I haven't watched it in a couple days, so my memory is absolutely, you know, gone. But those two are incredible. Roy Kent, love him.
Keely,
thank you. My bad. And Roy Kent, love him too. But yes, I think you make a good point that Ted Lasso brings everybody up, and it's been really incredible so far. I think I just passed the midpoint point of season two, or season one, my bad. I know we want to talk about this more on a later date of like a bigger, you know, spoiler-fied thing. But so far, my early impressions are really good. And I hate to say it, but everyone was right. so really, you know, I hate to say it, everyone was right. Because usually like when you get shows or other media properties and people hype it up, it's sometimes it falls flat. And the first episode to me, like, I think it was just like the pilot was just, you know, had its, you know, growing pains. The humor at first didn't hit with me. But then once we started to get used to the characters, I think, you know, once the characters started to warm up to Ted Lasso's brand of humor, I think that's when it, you know, clicked more with me. Because it just like felt like there were jokes being thrown around and they weren't landing with anyone. I'm like, oh, no, this feels super awkward.
Yeah, it's like cringe, yes. Right? And then it's like, despite knowing that it's cringe, and like Ted Lasso being like completely unlikable in his ridiculous positivity, you start despite yourself to warm up to him, and so does everyone else in the show.
Yeah, and it's not that I found it annoying. It's more that I'm like, these jokes aren't landing for other people. So to me, it's just awkward because there's no feedback. I don't do well with, you know, awkward silences or just like when jokes don't land, I'm like, oh, this makes me super uncomfortable. Just the atmosphere in the room. So that was like the whole first episode was like, oh no, if this whole show is like this, I don't know if I could do this. But then they started to warm up and I'm like, okay, this is good. This is good. This is what I'm here for. So yes, everyone, you were right about Ted Lasso. I will continue to keep watching. Hopefully this week, now that I have some time off, it was just a super busy weekend for me. But I wanted to let you know, Andrew, because I've been taking advantage of the Apple TV deal that I got for owning a PlayStation 5.
Nice.
So yeah, that's been my last couple of days in pop culture. But man, Ted Lasso, happy for it that it won a handful of Emmys. I don't know how many, but it won some that I had heard.
Yeah, it won a lot, I think. Oh, really? But okay. Yeah, and for me, I watched a show on Prime with my in-laws that they wanted to introduce us to called The Great, and the premise of it sounds awful. It's like Catherine the Great being married off to Peter the Third in Russia in, like, I think it's like the 17th century or something, or 18th century, and it's a comedy, and it's just like incredibly raunchy and out there, and I have to say, it was extremely funny and very interesting, so it was... It was decent. Very raunchy, though. Just as a warning to anybody who doesn't like that kind of humor. It stars like Elle Fanning and... can't forget the name of him now. But the guy who played Beast in X-Men First Class.
Oh, okay.
Nicholas Holt.
You're right. Yep.
Nicholas Holt. Who has been in other stuff as well. He's a good actor. He kind of makes it. He's just unbelievably hilarious in it. And very out of character for the type of people he's usually cast as. So he's just like... a petulant, spoiled brat. And yeah, it's pretty decent. The second season comes out, I think, sometime in October or maybe late September. But yeah, that's what I've been up to.
All right. Well, if that's to your type of humor, definitely check that out. But that's all we have for you today on the Crosscheck NHL Show. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure to follow us on your podcast platform of choice, from Apple to Odyssey to Spotify. And rate and review us while you're at it. You can follow the pod at Crosscheck NHL on Twitter, me at Mary C. Clark on Twitter, and Andrew at Andrew Berkshire on Twitter. We'll be back on Tuesday, or Thursday, with some more Puck Talk. See you next time. Betting on the NHL doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts.